First Timothy, if you would, please, and chapter 6. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, First Timothy and chapter 6, I'll read out loud, you follow along silently, beginning in verse 11. But thou, O men of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. As we look back here to what Paul told Timothy, I just want to kind of focus on this, not just for the kids that went to camp, not just for the counselors and teen helpers that went to camp, but also for you parents and those of you of our church family, and even those of you that are visiting tonight. We want to and ought to want to do what Paul said and fight the good fight of faith. You understand that there were decisions made this week at camp that need to be fought for. There are life-changing things that were done in the hearts and lives of young people and workers that need to be fought for. This is not just a cruise through life. It's a battle, and it's a constant battle. And as these kids come back from camp, they're all excited. They're all hyped up. They've heard preaching and teaching. They've read the scriptures. They've memorized scriptures. They've been saturated with the things of God, the people of God, in an atmosphere where the world was taken away from them. No cell phones, no outside influences, no televisions, no video game systems, no music playing, nothing outside of those things. Everything was centered and focused around God and His Word and the things of God, so that these kids could reach higher for Christ and could reach higher for the things of God. Now they're dumped back into the world, if you will, where all these things are going to be back at their front door. It is a fight. It's a fight. It's a battle. And sometimes I think we lose sight that this world and this life is a fight. That's why we're commanded and encouraged to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul tells Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So tonight, as we kind of close out things and we head toward the idea of having a memorial time and looking inwardly, introspectively, at our lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Those of you that went to camp, kids, I want to encourage you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Counselors and teen helpers, I want you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and just church moms and dads and church grandmas and grandpas, and those of you in the congregation that are trying to pass on these things to the next generation as a local church, we need to fight the good fight of faith. It's something we all need to be a part of. So tonight I just want to just give you a little bit of encouragement to number one, fight the inward battle. Fight the inward battle. Paul told Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. He tells Timothy, hey, there's an inward battle that you have to fight. You have to put these things in your life. And we've preached about godliness and preached about these things and putting those in our life. But day by day by day, kids, you made some great decisions. And moms and dads, I want you to, if your kids haven't told you about their decisions already, you should ask them. They made some good decisions this week at camp. But you know what? You're going to have a struggle keeping those decisions. Because that old flesh is going to try to fight you on that. Your flesh doesn't want to serve God. Your flesh doesn't want to do right. Your flesh doesn't want to live in the Spirit. Your flesh wants to be sinful. And your flesh wants the pleasures of this world. And guess what? Teenagers, the same goes for you. Workers, the same goes for you. Church family, the same goes for all of us. There's an inward battle to be fought each and every day that we breathe. Or I could say it a little bit more coarse, every day that we suck air. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Another day. Guess what? That means another battle. Another fight. Romans 7, Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, Gesundheit, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is an inward battle. And young people, it's a battle you're going to fight until the day you die. Teenagers, it's a battle you're going to fight until the day you die. Workers and helpers that went along at camp, it's a battle you're going to fight to the day you die. You made some good decisions. Teenagers, you made some good decisions at teen camp, at youth conference. And listen, we're going to have an opportunity to take some young boys up to football camp. They're going to make some good decisions there. And you know, all these things throughout the summer, we stay busy. We're doing things. We're going for God. And listen, those are all wonderful. But it'll all be for naught if we do not choose to fight that inward battle day by day. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We must flee these things, this thing of the world and the flesh and these things that are opposing us day by day. In Romans chapter 8, Paul continues. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read all the way through verse 13, but you can continue to read that if you'd like to on your own time. But the gist of it is this. We have a choice. We're either going to walk after the flesh and mind the things of the flesh, and that leads to destruction. Or we're going to walk after the Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit, and that leads to life. We have a choice. And it's a fight. But you know, it's worth fighting for. Young people, you're worth fighting for. Teenagers, you're worth fighting for. Workers and volunteers, you're worth fighting for. Church folks, you're worth fighting for. This life that we live for Christ on the inward man is worth fighting for. We need to fight the good fight of faith. The second battle that I want you to encourage you to fight is the outward battle. The outward battle. John 15, Jesus says this, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own, his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated me, hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So you understand that the world hates us, folks. And it's supposed to. Now you say, "But Pastor, the world doesn't hate me." Just think about that for a moment. It should. If you get along with the world just fine, maybe you need to think about that. Because Jesus said, it hated me before it hated you. And if it hates you, that's how it's supposed to be. You understand that if the world doesn't hate you, are you really born again? Are you really one of his? That's something you need to ask yourself very carefully. John said in 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There's an outward battle that we fight day by day. It's this old world. And the things that are in this world, it's an outward battle. Yeah, we got to fight the flesh. That's the inward battle. And yes, we got an outward battle that we have to fight. And we need to fight against those things. We have to try to win the lost. You know, that's a fight sometimes. You know, it's hard to stand up and give out a gospel tract because sometimes you'll be persecuted. It's hard to live for God at your workplace. Why? Because that's going to bring some persecution. And some difficulty. It's easier to just slip under the radar and not fight the battle, right? But you know what we need to do? We need to stand up and fight the battle. Jesus Christ is worth fighting for. The gospel is worth fighting for. Fulfilling what God has called us to do, preaching the gospel to every creature, is worth fighting for. We need to fight the good fight of faith. And the third thing I want to encourage you tonight is not only to fight the inward battle and the outward battle, but I also want to encourage you to fight the unseen battle. We have an adversary. His name is Satan. Lucifer, that old devil, that old serpent, the dragon. You know what? He hates your guts. He does. He wants you dead. He wants you inactive. He wants you destroyed, defeated, discouraged, in despair. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to have a good relationship with God. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's a battle. You say, but I can't see him. You're right. It's an unseen battle. But you know what? We're told to fight it anyways. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, is this talking about fighting against the world? Not necessarily. Is this talking about fighting against the flesh? Not necessarily. What's it talking about? Fighting against the devil. It's the unseen battle that we do not see. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, we're not wrestling against these other two things right now. We're concerned with fighting against the wiles of the devil. These principalities, these powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what, kids, these decisions, workers, these decisions that have been made, teenagers, these decisions that you've made this summer at camp, and church family, the decisions that you've made as you've come down to an old-fashioned altar and prayed and asked God to do something in your life, they are worth fighting for. Some are inward battles. Some are outward battles. Some are these things of the unseen battles that we fight against the principalities and powers, against Satan himself. You understand that Simon Peter was told by Christ to watch out. In Luke 22, he says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? This guy was walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus. He's the head of the apostles. You know, he's kind of the guy that's kind of the outspoken one. Satan wanted Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, don't worry though. I've prayed for you. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. He said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You understand that Peter did have some falls. But Peter had some great successes as well. He fought the good fight of faith. You know, when you fight the battle, you don't always win. Do you know that? Sometimes you lose. But you know what's important? A just man falls seven times and does what? Riseth up again. You know what's important about the fighting the good fight of faith is not quitting. Are you always going to succeed? No. Hey, those decisions that you said that God laid on your heart, are you always going to keep them? Not always, but you know what you can do? Pick them back up again. You can keep going on for the Lord. You know what? We got to be careful lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We do not need to be ignorant of his devices. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If you'd like to, you can turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to end here tonight. Again, tonight was just meant to be an encouragement. I hope that the testimony time of camp was an encouragement to you, church family. It really made a difference in the lives of these kids. It really made a difference in the lives of these teen helpers and these workers. And you know what? It can make a difference in our lives as we go forward for Christ and do what Paul told Timothy to do and fight the good fight of faith. Are you there in Ephesians 4? Look at what it says in verse 17. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." What does that sound like? It sounds like fighting the good fight of faith. That sounds like the inward battle being fought and the outward battle being fought and the unseen battle being fought day by day by day. As Paul was talking to Timothy here in our text that we read, in verse 20 he said, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." You understand that we have decisions to keep. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to you. You went down to an altar and you made a decision. You know what you need to do? Keep it. You know what you need to do? Fight for it. Fight those inward battles against the flesh. Fight those outward battles against the world. Fight those unseen battles against the devil. Don't give him a place in your life to steal away those things that God has given you. He's a thief and a liar. He's a roaring lion, and he wants to devour you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him, kids. Don't let him, teenagers. Don't let him, workers. Don't let him, church family. Fight the good fight of faith.